The Time Traveler's Guide to Not Getting Caught. Chapter 14, That Time I Freed the Jews. Look, let me start off by saying that I am not Moses. I think that's fairly obvious by this point in time, but I know what you're thinking, because you all know about the time Moses freed the Jews from Egypt, but that wasn't in the Bible in my original history. Now I can go on and on about what was originally written in the Bible and when the Jews were actually freed, but I seriously have no clue because I never read the Bible before I time traveled. When I went back to ancient Egypt, I did in fact meet a guy named Moses, and he did help me free the Jews. But I mean, I think by the end of my story, you'll see that I'm really the one who should get the credit, and I guess maybe the babysitter as well. I didn't do this for the credit, so it doesn't really matter anyway, but if someone were to be giving out credit, it should go to me. I'm just saying. So the babysitter tells me she's always been interested in ancient Egypt and seeing the pyramids get built, and I say, "Me too!" Even though I didn't really care much about it, but figured it was just a little white lie to make her feel better about dragging me all the way back in time to that godforsaken place. Which, by the way, was way hotter than the Old West. But before we even go to Egypt, she and I need a little R&R, so I suggest we go back and Hulu and chill at her place. But she hadn't even heard of Hulu, and I thought, what does a guy have to do to get laid in 2010? So instead I say, well, let's go to Blockbuster and rent a movie and then go back to your place and watch it. And she says, oh cool, I love Blockbuster. And then she asks if I love it, and I just didn't have the heart to tell her that it was no longer a thing in the future. So I just smile and ask her what movie she wants to watch. And she says, True Grit. And I'm thinking, why would you want to watch a movie about the shitty time period we just visited? But of course, I didn't say that. I say how much I want to see that movie. So we head to Blockbuster in my Lambo, listening to some stupid Backstreet Boys CD, and then we get to the Blockbuster and we go inside and we have to physically find our movie like we're living in the Stone Age. And that's when I see the X-rated movies in the back and thought, oh, that could be sexy. You know, get me a dirty movie to watch with the babysitter. But then the babysitter glances at me while I'm looking at the dirty movies and I'm thinking, oh great, now she's gonna wanna break up with me. But instead, she says, instead of getting True Grit, do you wanna get a dirty movie? And I say, yes please. So we sneak into the dirty movie section, but now came the more awkward part when we would find out what sort of dirty sexual things the other person liked. I mean, it was easiest just to go to the boy-girl section, and so we wound up going there first. And then when we get there, we look at each other at the same time and say, this could be good. But then both of our eyes wander, and I see her looking at the lesbian section, and I'm thinking, thank the Lord is good. But then I start to wonder if she is in fact a lesbian and just using me for my time traveling ability and my Biff Tannen money. So I reach for the nearest tape and say, let's just get this one. But then I realize it's a spanking video, and now she's gonna think I'm some sort of spanking guy. So I quickly say, haha, just kidding. And then I grab for the nearest heterosexual non-spanking video. So we take our tape up to the front and I'm thinking, well, this is gonna be awkward because we have porn. But then I think, well, this guy is probably used to people acting all shady renting adult films because everyone in this time period had to do this since it was before the internet had readily streaming porn. Though I am aware that they did have it available, but it wasn't what I had grown accustomed to in my present. So I drop the movie onto the counter, and the guy gives me a look, like he assumes we just came here to get porn. So then I feel compelled to grab a nearby box of Junior Mints to throw him off of our scent. So I toss them on top of the porn because it's so much less conspicuous getting porn when you also buy minty chocolates as well. So the guy rings us up and eyes the tape and says, oh, this is a good one. Which I felt to be really unprofessional because now the only thing I'm gonna be thinking about while we're watching our dirty movie is that the Blockbuster guy approves. So we hop into the Lambo with our dirty movie and the Junior Mints, and the babysitter opens the candy and starts eating. And now I'm thinking, this is a $100,000 car. Maybe wait until we get back to your place before we open up the little bits of chocolate that might fall onto the leather interior. But I didn't say anything because that's how you're supposed to act when you first start dating someone, right? So we get back to her apartment and I think, yeah, she really could use some Biff Tannen money because this place is a dump. She asked me if I want anything to drink, which was a nice gesture. It was better hospitality than Davy Crockett ever showed me. So I tell her I'll take a Mountain Dew, but she says she doesn't have any, and now I'm a little upset because I suddenly have a hankering for Mountain Dew. So I just say, that's fine. I'll have some water. So she returns with water, and I put the dirty movie on, and it starts, and the babysitter cuddles up next to me, and I'm thinking, well, this is so much better than time traveling. Why don't we just do this all the time? But then I realized what a lure the time traveling is for her, and I didn't want to take something away that she likes so much. So the dirty movie starts, and I'm thinking, this is pretty sexy. But one thing that would make the movie so much better is if we had some Junior Mints. But the babysitter had eaten all of them in the car ride over, so all I had to eat was a Fiber One bar, which really isn't the same. I mean, no offense against Fiber One bars, but Junior Mints are just a superior snack while watching an adult film. And also, she's a 24-year-old woman. Why does she have a stash of Fiber Ones? So we start to get turned on, and I'm thinking, okay, let's top our first sexual encounter by giving her two orgasms. So then we have our sexy time, but I only get her to one orgasm, and I can't even get her to the half of one. And now I'm feeling like a huge disappointment and thinking I should have gotten the lesbian porn. So then the next morning, the babysitter is all excited to go back to Egypt, but she suggests that we should get some ancient Egyptian currency first. So I search for it on eBay. Luckily, eBay existed in 2010. And I find some stupid ancient Egyptian silver rings and gold-shaped sheep they used for money, and I'm thinking, all right, I'll bid on this. And I don't want to play any games, so I bid an exorbitant number because money didn't mean anything to me because I could basically make it grow on trees. So the Egyptian currency was going to take a few days to deliver, so I tell the babysitter I'm going to go a few days in the future and get it so we don't have to wait. So I fast forward a few days and I grab the package. And then I go back a few days to get the babysitter because I didn't want to make her have to wait to go on our journey because I am a gentleman. Now the next thing we needed was to get outfits. So we went to the costume shop and found some suitable clothes, and the babysitter looked so hot in her costume. Like, those Egyptians knew how to dress. And I gotta say, I didn't look too shabby myself. So I reluctantly pay for the clothes, and we get into my backseat, and I put in the date and tudes, and the next thing we knew, we were in 1446 BC Egypt. My first thought was, this looks just like Assassin's Creed Origins. And my second thought was, I wonder what they ate in ancient Egypt. So, just like in every other time period, we start walking around, and I'll tell you this about ancient Egypt. There is a lot of sand. Like, a lot of sand. Like, the whole place was sand. Just sand. Why would people establish a city on so much sand? Like, there are other places in the world with fertile soil and rivers, but for some reason, these people thought, you know where a great place to build a pyramid would be? On a bunch of sand. Anyway, we're walking around the ancient city and the babysitter is excited, telling me to look at this thing and that thing. But I'm not paying any attention because I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to free the Jews. And then I think, do I really need to do it? But then I figured the Jews had a lot to endure throughout human history and the least I could do is free them from the Pharaoh. But the question was, how? How would I save hundreds? Thousands? Was it thousands? Of people from the Pharaoh. And where would I even set them free? Like, there's only desert all around here. Was I just gonna lead them to another desert where they would just set up an encampment and then the world would have another city built on sand? Is that what happened with Egypt? Were they freed from some other sandy village and everyone just thought, okay, we'll set up camp here and build a city? So I turn and I ask the babysitter what she thinks we should do about the Jews, and her first inclination was that we should somehow find a way to meet and befriend the Pharaoh. But I'm like, how? And then she says we should pull in Aladdin and act like we're royalty from out of town. And I tell her it's a great idea, but we don't have a genie that can manifest elephants. I mean, sure, we have a bunch of stupid Egyptian money, but we didn't have an elephant. And you can't pull off an Aladdin move without an elephant. That's when we notice the Pharaoh's palace and I spot a few guards posted out front and I think, if these people are anything like humans in modern time, or any time really, then they'll happily take a bribe. So I tell the babysitter that I'll just go up to one of the guards and offer him money to allow us in. And she tells me she thinks it's a good idea and I'm happy she supports me, but then she says, but... And then I'm like, well, what is it now? And she says, but what if the guard tells the Pharaoh about the bribe and then he gets upset and tries to kill us? And I tell her, look, that isn't gonna happen. The dude's gonna take the bribe. I mean, you don't think he wants to get his wife some sort of ancient jewelry? I'm sure his ancient mother-in-law is hounding him about not making enough money. Like, that dude is gonna take the money and that's gonna be the end of it. So she agrees we should try. So I go up to the Pharaoh's guard, who looks straight out of Stargate. And that's when I realize I don't know the language at all. But then I realize there's one language that transcends all time. I pull out a gold sheep and I show him it, and then I point to myself and the babysitter and then point into the palace. And then the guard puts out his hand and I give him the sheep, and then he motions for us to enter, so we head on in. My first thought was, holy shit, that actually worked. And then my second thought was, well, did I overpay him with the bribe? And I gotta tell ya, I really couldn't get over that second thought because I kept wondering if I could have had one more golden sheep in my pocket because the guard might have happily taken a silver ring as a bribe. But here I am, maybe bribing people way too much money, but I have no idea how much each thing is worth and certainly don't know how bribes work in ancient Egypt. Regardless, I knew I still had plenty of money left, but it was the principle of the matter, you know? Either way, the guard lets us into the giant palace and we start walking through, and it's just utter opulence. And then we realized we had entered a masquerade party. Luckily, the party had a whole selection of masks just sitting out on a table out front. So we each take a mask. You know the kind where you hold it up with a stick and it covers your eyes? Well, we each had one and we held it up high as we enter the large ballroom. And there's this live band with musicians playing instruments I had never seen before. One of the band members was playing something that looked like a harp while another was on an instrument that looked like a violin. I could attempt to describe all of the instruments, but I don't want to because I really didn't pay too much attention to each little detail. I mean, I was focused on trying to save the Jews. Now, the music didn't sound like you might think, or at least what I think you might think. It sounded more like country music with a hint of sand, if you know what I mean. On the dance floor, there were a bunch of people dancing, but it wasn't like the walk like an Egyptian dance. It was more like an ancient version of Crump, except with a bunch of people dressed in ancient Egyptian clothes. And that's when I look over at the babysitter, and she had the same look in her eyes that I had when I was in Athens during the orgy. So I lean in and I tell her she can't take a picture, even though she wants to. And she nods, but then I secretly want to take a picture, but figure it would look really bad if I just tell her she can't, and then I do, and we get caught and the Jews never get freed. So the babysitter asks me if I want to crump with her, and I tell her that I left my crumping chaps at home, and she looks disappointed. But I had learned my lesson in New York, and I knew it was better that she be disappointed now rather than seeing me be a terrible dancer. So I glance around the room, trying to figure out who the pharaoh is, when I notice a scrawny-looking kid sitting on a throne, and I'm like, yeah, that's the pharaoh. But now the question came down to, how? How was I going to free the Jews? Do I somehow convince the pharaoh, or do I just warp all the Jews to some other location? I mean, maybe the pharaoh didn't even like the Jews, you know? Maybe it's like, hey, I can take them all away from you and you never have to see them again. But then I thought, well, maybe he doesn't like them, but he likes their free labor and all the work they're doing. So if I did free them, he'd probably be upset that he'd start having to pay people or enslave a whole different group of people to continue building the pyramids. And that would probably just be a huge hassle for him. And then I wondered, would the world be sad if I freed the Jews because the future would have fewer pyramids? I didn't know, but frankly, we were on a mission to free these people, and by Jehovah, we were going to at least make the smallest effort to do so. So I make my way over to the pharaoh without any plan in mind. But as I get close to him, a couple of guards stop me and I consider giving them a silver ring, but I didn't want anyone to see me bribe the guards. So as they block me off, I just turn away as casually as I can so nobody would suspect me of trying to free the Jews. So then I glance over at the pharaoh and I see him watching the dancers. But he seems really bored. And that's when I realize what I have to do to get his attention. I would have to dance so amazing that he felt so invigorated by my movement that he felt he needed to talk to me. But it meant having to face my fear of dancing in front of a girl I wanted to have sex with. But by Abraham, I was going to do what needed to be done to free those Jews. So I walk up to the dance floor and I let my hips feel the music. And then, out of nowhere, I start gyrating like I'm some actor in a spanking adult video ready to get spanked, and everyone stops crumping and they start watching me. I don't know why, but for some reason, I start to do the flash dance dance. Not the one where she dumps the water on her, but the one at the end when she's dancing in front of the judges. Look, I'm not proud of it, but that was my favorite movie growing up. Don't look at me like that. And I studied every move, even though I had actually never danced it because I was too afraid to let myself do it. But now, I was doing it and everyone was watching me, and that's when I spot the pharaoh slap his knee like he's enjoying my dancing. But then I realized that I was reaching the end of my dance, which meant I had to do the finishing move to win everyone over. So I dive forward and I pull into a somersault, but But instead of ending there, I start to improvise. Have you seen the music video for Fade? You know the moment the woman is lying on her stomach and essentially humping the ground? Well, to this day, I don't know why I wound up doing that, but that's what I wind up doing. I just start humping the ground in front of the pharaoh who's laughing and smacking his leg. And it was at that moment that I wondered if the babysitter thought I was doing a good job or if she was never going to want to see me again. After I finish gyrating, the pharaoh stands and claps enthusiastically and then everyone else claps and I'm thinking, well, I guess clapping's been around for a while. And then I do what anybody in that moment would do. I raise my arms in the air and I pump my fist. And then the babysitter runs over and embraces me. We start kissing and if we were in a movie, a camera would have circled around us. But we weren't in a movie. We were in ancient Egypt. But if we were, the moment totally warranted a circling camera. Then the pharaoh says something in hieroglyphics and the crowd chants in their wonky language. And they start saying a name. And I swear to you, they were chanting Hump. Apparently, my name in ancient Egypt was now Hump, which is completely different than my actual name. But you already knew that. Hump, 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 Hump. That's what they cheered. They all cheered Hump. And then the pharaoh comes up to me and he puts his hand out. And I kneel because I figure that's what I'm supposed to do. And then I kiss his hand and it tasted like sand. And nobody tries to kill me. So I figure that I was doing everything right. And then the pharaoh says a bunch of things I don't understand other than the word hump. And then he motions for me to come into another room with him. And so I call the babysitter over and now we're suddenly walking through the palace with the pharaoh, which was so much nicer than Davy Crockett's dump. And then he takes us over to this large room with a golden fireplace and I'm thinking, why would you ever need a fireplace in this sun-drenched place? So he motions for the babysitter and me to take a seat, and so we do. And then he starts talking in his weird language and the babysitter and I just sit there smiling because we didn't want to seem rude by not understanding anything he was saying. When he smiled, we smiled. And when he laughed, we laughed because we figured that was the best thing to do when you don't understand a language. And then he introduces me to this surly-looking fellow and I hear the name Moses. Now, I know you all know who Moses is, but when I went back, I didn't know who he was because he wasn't historically important in the history that I grew up with. I'll just say this about Moses. He doesn't know how to take a joke. Like, dude was all business all the time, and I could immediately tell he didn't like the pharaoh. Part of me wanted to tell the pharaoh that this dude totally didn't like him because I figured it would help me get in better graces with the pharaoh. And I'm innately always wanting to please whoever's in power. But the other part of me felt like I should be holding off on tattling on anyone, especially someone who didn't like the pharaoh because he might be able to help me free the Jews. And then the pharaoh says something to me and he looks at me like I'm supposed to respond. So I figured, I guess I'll just respond in English and hope he thinks I'm some cool foreigner rather than a mute or some sort of subordinate guy. So I say, yeah, man, I totally agree with everything you just said. And he looks at me like he doesn't understand a word I said, because he didn't. But he does the same thing I did and he smiles and nods, which I took as a good sign because it meant that he liked me. But it also meant he was a liar. And then I thought to myself, I'm glad I'm going to free the Jews because I just can't condone lying. Then he says something in his language and I smile and nod. And I know you're thinking I'm a hypocrite because I'm doing the same thing he was doing. But so what? I already told you I was a hypocrite. And even so, it's a different situation, you know? I'm a time traveler having to pretend like I'm not a time traveler. This dude is the most powerful person in the country and potentially the world at the time. And he's over there lying to me. Lying! Okay, I'm glad I got you on my side. And then the pharaoh laughs and then the babysitter laughs because she wants to fit in. And then I laugh harder than them all because I want them to think I'm smarter. And then I look over at Moses, but he's just sitting there with a frown and I'm thinking, geez, dude, lighten up. Then a guard enters, ushering in several servants carrying plates of food, and on one of the plates was a large duck with its bill still on, and I'm thinking, well, I like duck just as much as the next man, but I don't need to see its bill still on, or even its head for that matter. But then I see a moment for comedy, and I apologize to all the vegans and vegetarians out there, as well as the pescatarians or just anyone who doesn't think you should play with your food, but I lean forward, and I move the bill back and forth, and I say, quack, quack, quack. And then the pharaoh breaks out into laughter and I'm thinking, oh my Isaiah, I've never made anyone laugh this hard in my life. Maybe the pharaoh isn't that bad. But then the pharaoh shouts something to the guard and the guard takes his whip and then he whips the servant. And then I think, oh yeah, this guy's a total piece of shit. So the babysitter and I start to eat our food when the pharaoh shouts something to his guard And then the guard leaves, and he comes back with two servants. And then the servants start to wrestle in front of us for entertainment, like in Django Unchained. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why is his first Tarantino reference Django? But look, I'm not saying Django is Tarantino's best movie. I'm just saying it was the first time in my adventure that I could ever use a reference for Tarantino. And it isn't like I only reference things I like. I'm a person who references things when it's most relevant. And here we were watching a couple of servants fight, and it's almost exactly like in Django. But you tell me when I could have done a Pulp Fiction reference, huh? Which, by the way, is clearly his best movie. And it's not like I'm going to be bringing up Kill Bill Volume 2 anytime soon, unless I go to Samurai Times, which maybe I do. So anyway, the servants are fighting and you know, look, I am not down with what the Pharaoh made these men do by forcing them to fight to the death. But objectively speaking, it was actually really entertaining seeing two people fighting to survive. I mean, I can see why all these ancient civilizations did this because I mean, like, sure, it's awful. I mean, awful, right? But it's also awfully entertaining. Anyway, the match ends and one of the servants dies, and so the Pharaoh forces the other servant to carry out the guy he just killed, which, you know, I found to be a little tacky. Like, this guy just won a battle to the death? He shouldn't have to carry out the dead guy. Like, at least get another servant to do it for him. But then other servants bring in wine, and I start to feel a little conflicted about whether or not this guy was a good host because, I mean, he brought us good food and good wine. But then he also subjected us to watching a man kill another man with his bare hands. But in the Pharaoh's defense, he was doing it to entertain us. But then again, he did have the victorious servant carry out the dead body, which is totally uncouth. But is that being a bad host or is it just being tacky? Either way, dinner ended and the Pharaoh had Moses take me and the babysitter to our room. And that's when Moses grabs my wrist and looks at my watch as if I were some sort of warlock or something. And he taps it, and it lights up, and he looks at me and bows. And so Moses gives me this look like he's now my servant, and I'm thinking, well, this is cool. This guy will do whatever I want him to do. But then I wondered if that made me just as bad as the Pharaoh, because I kind of like the idea of having a servant. No, the Pharaoh is a much worse person than I am. So Moses leads the babysitter and me into this gigantic room, and we both agree that Moses now thinks I'm God because of my time-traveling ability. And that we should use this to our benefit to free the Jews. But the question was, how? How was I going to use this ancient Egyptian to help me free the Jews when he couldn't understand a word I was saying? And that's when I got horny. I don't know if it was the duck, the sand, the heat, or witnessing someone kill another person right in front of me with his bare hands, but I had the urge to give the babysitter 2.5 orgasms. So I make a move on her. But for some inexplicable reason, she isn't in the mood. I ask her if it was the duck, the sand, the heat, or witnessing someone kill another person right in front of her with his bare hands, and she says, all of the above. And I say, really? The sand is making you unhorny? Then she asks if I just want to cuddle with her, and I say, yeah, sure. But now I'm totally sexually frustrated in ancient Egypt, and I definitely don't want to be sexually frustrated in ancient Egypt. For a moment, I wondered if I should take care of myself, but I didn't know where I could do it and if it would upset the babysitter. But I didn't know how I was going to fall asleep while I was all worked up. I decided to just forget about how aroused I was and do my best to get some sleep. That was the most restless night of sleep I ever had. But during my restlessness, I knew what I had to do. I had to quit my job. I mean, I hadn't shown up there for a long time anyway. Although to be honest, I had completely lost track of how many days in real time I had taken off of work. Now I know I could always go back in time to make up the days, but I figured quitting was just easier. I mean, I had plenty of money from Biff Tannen Inc., and what was the point of working? But then, I start wondering about the more important matter at hand, which was, how would I go about quitting? Would I go in and make a big scene, or would I be really nice about it? I mean, I didn't hate any of the people, not even Susie. But I didn't like anyone either, and I was pretty sure this would be the last job I ever had, so when was I ever going to have the chance to be able to rage quit? But then, I start wondering about the most important matter at hand, which was, what was Socrates doing? Did he wonder where I went? I should take a look at all of his writings and see if he ever wrote about a young man with supple lips. But then I thought, does he think I have supple lips? Or was the feeling not mutual? But then, I get clarity on the whole freeing the Jews and everything. When morning came, I would go with the babysitter to the pyramids and really get a good idea of how many Jews we needed to free. And then I would game plan with Moses how we were going to free everyone. It would be challenging, mainly because he and I spoke different languages. But you know what? I had full confidence we would free the Jews. And if we couldn't, well, then whatever. So the sun finally rises and the Pharaoh greets us and brings us a cooked goose. Well, I think it was a goose. And to be honest, I don't really know the difference between a duck and a goose. So it's possible that we had a goose last night and a duck this morning. Or maybe we had some sort of other animal that was now extinct but existed back in ancient Egypt. Either way, it looked like a goose. So we ate the goose and then it was time for us to check out the pyramids. But I didn't know how to convey to the Pharaoh that I wanted to see the pyramids. So I just made a triangle with my hands, and he got the gist. So he takes us to a pyramid being built, and that's when I see hundreds of people building the pyramid. And you know, it was a pretty sad sight. But the pyramid was pretty incredible. Say what you will about the Jews, but they know how to build a good pyramid. Although, should I be praising the Jews? Or should I be praising the architect? Like, who's the guy who designed the pyramids, and did he know they'd be using slave labor when he designed them? And did he even care? Anyway, I felt really bad seeing all these people carrying heavy blocks and getting whipped, so I definitely decided that I would for sure save the Jews. But how? And that's when I see a black cat walk by and all the guards and even the Pharaoh bow down to it, and then I get an idea. All these people are deeply superstitious, so if I somehow use my knowledge of the future to make people think I was some sort of godlike creature, I could then scare them into releasing the Jews. That's what I'd do. Now, I couldn't speak to the Jews or anyone else because I didn't speak their language, but Moses, he knew the language, so I would use him to help me free them. Help being the key word because I was going to be doing most of the work. So I look around and I see a nearby hill, and I tell the babysitter to lead Moses up the hill where I would be standing behind the bush, pretending to be God by using my phone to translate English to whatever language people spoke in ancient Egypt. So she leads Moses up the mountain and I'm hiding behind this bush and I think it'd be pretty cool if I just light it on fire, but I don't have a lighter. So I put the datentudes into the time traveling device and I take a quick trip back home to get a lighter. And that's when I download a translation app that translates English into ancient Egyptian. And I mean, while I'm there, I decided to watch an episode of iCarly because it had been a while since I watched the show and time wasn't of the essence because I had a time machine. So after I watched iCarly, I figured, well, I should take a nice bath. Because I was feeling like it. So I draw a bath and I'm sitting in my own filth thinking, well, this is really nice. Do I really need to go back to ancient Egypt? I mean, of course I had to go back eventually to get the babysitter, but did I really? Yes, yes, of course I did because I loved her. So I dry myself off and I travel back to ancient Egypt. So I get back to where I left and I light the bush on fire and I'm watching this fairly large fire and I'm thinking, man, this is so cool. And that's when Moses arrives, so I play the translation from my app and I have it tell Moses that I'm God and his mission was to save all the Jews from Egypt. He says something back to me, but I don't know a single word he says and I'm just thinking, okay, Moses, can you leave now because the bush is almost completely burnt up and he's certainly going to see me any minute and the jig will be up. So Moses finally leaves, and I make my way back to the babysitter feeling pretty good about everything. But then I realize I never told Moses the plan to free the Jews, and that's because I really didn't have a plan yet. You know, all I told him was that I was God and that I needed his help. But I also figured Moses knew the Pharaoh, and that maybe he would find some way to be able to convince him. So I get back to the babysitter, and I tell her we should watch Moses and see what he does. So we keep an eye on Moses, and he's got this strange look in his eyes, like he was a guy who just spoke with God or something. And that's when he starts pacing back and forth, watching the Jews carrying stones around and the guards whipping them, and I could see in his eyes that he really believed he spoke with God and that he was destined to free the Jews. And that's when I realized how powerful I felt being able to convince someone I was God. Like, all I did was light a bush on fire and use my phone to say I was God. And that's all it took to convince him to upend his entire life and free all of Egypt's slaves. And then I start to wonder how else I could exploit this whole pretending to be God thing. What other time periods could I go to and make people think I was God? Could I go back to ancient Athens and make people think I was God and win Socrates over? Not that that's what I want to do, I'm just curious if it was even possible. Look, I just want you all to know, it isn't like I'm obsessed with Socrates or anything like that. It was just a very strange experience for me. The sort of confidence he exuded was unlike anything I had ever felt in my life. It isn't that I'm sexually attracted to him. It's just that I was drawn to him from a purely scientific standpoint. You know what? Believe what you want to believe. I am very secure with my sexuality. I'm dating a hot babysitter and I have a watch that can take me anywhere. So I don't need any validation from some random listener, okay? And then I start to wonder if all the God sightings throughout time had been a time traveler. Or maybe it had been my time traveler friend. And then I start to wonder what his motives were for going back in time to do what he was doing. Were the Jews originally freed, but then he decided they shouldn't be freed? Or did he inadvertently screw it all up? Did he go back and do things during Jesus' time? Was he the reason for all religion? Or was I the very first time traveler to be mistaken as God? So then, the babysitter asks me what Moses is going to do, and I tell her I don't know, but I think he's going to do something really cool and probably super secretive. And that's when Moses stands up on a large block and gets everyone's attention and starts shouting something. And I see the guards look really angry and the Jews look really happy, and I'm thinking, is Moses really just standing on a block and telling everybody God spoke to him and told him the Jews needed to be freed? Like, if I wanted him to just announce it, I would have just told him to do that. But now he was going to get caught and wind up in some sort of Egyptian sand jail, or get executed, or mummified, or whatever they did back in ancient Egypt times to people who claimed to be sent by God to free the Jews. And that's when the Pharaoh appears and spots Moses and shouts something to the guard, and I'm thinking, holy shit, am I going to see Moses have to fight to his death during dinner tonight? So a couple of the guards rush up and grab Moses, and as he's getting taken away, a nearby Jew fights off one of the guards, and then he gets whipped by another guard, and then another Jew jumps in, and then all hell breaks loose as slaves start rushing the Pharaoh's guards. And I gotta say, I was a little scared the Jews would think I was on the Pharaoh's side because I had just spent the night with him, so I tell the babysitter that we should back away a bit from the action. I mean, not so much so we couldn't see what was happening, because when you see a bunch of slaves revolt against their masters, you gotta watch it, because you will never see a more impassioned riot than someone fighting for their freedom. I mean, just seriously, how often do you see people have to fight for their lives? And here I was, already seeing it happen multiple times in the span of a day. And then, I see one of the Jews take his chains and strangle one of the guards to death. Which I mean, you know, it's always terrible seeing someone get strangled to death with a chain. But it was also pretty satisfying because that dude he killed was just whipping him a few minutes ago, so he totally deserved it. So, everything looked like it was working out for the slaves, but then I see Moses pinned on the ground, getting punched repeatedly by a guard, and I'm thinking, well, if he dies, would the rebellion die as well? But I have no way of saving him, so I don't know what to do. And that's when I come up with a brilliant idea. I put in the date and tubes for back home, and I promptly arrive back in my time, get what I need, and then come back to ancient Egypt, wielding my shotgun that I used to take out a mastodon. So I walk up to the guard punching Moses, and I shoot him in the back, and he instantly dies. Well, you know, I guess I don't know if he instantly died because I didn't check his pulse or anything, but like, all of his insides came out his backside, so he either died instantly or died a few seconds after. I mean, he wasn't moving, and he didn't say ow or anything, so I'm assuming he died pretty quickly. My first thought was, he must be the first human to ever be killed with a shotgun that had also killed a mastodon. And my second thought was, well, a mastodon had never been killed by a shotgun until me, so that really isn't any sort of big epiphany or anything. Now I know what you're thinking. Sure, it isn't the noblest thing to do, shooting an ancient Egyptian in the back, but look, I really didn't give a shit about what was noble or not. I was here to free a group of people, and if it meant shotgunning someone in the back, then I was going to do it. So Moses pushes himself off the ground, and he grabs the dead guard's whip, and then he starts whipping the Pharaoh, and everyone who's watching is just shocked at what's happening. But nobody's coming to help the Pharaoh, and I'm thinking, well, I guess he wasn't that nice of a Pharaoh because nobody's defending him. And then the other slaves grab the guard's whips, and they start whipping the guards like there's no tomorrow. And that's when I realize I didn't need to transport anyone anywhere because these Jews pretty much had everything under control. And you know what? I felt like I had done enough at this point of time to head back to the future or past since we were going back to 2010. Although it was technically the future for us right now, but would still be the past for me, but you get it. So I grab the babysitter, and I put in 2010 and the Tudes, and we go back to her present. So the babysitter pulls up Wiki to see what we had changed, and according to history, there were a bunch of plagues and the parting of the Red Sea, which I really can't say all of that didn't happen because I had left, but I mean, what I saw was a healthy revolt with slaves killing their slave masters. And then the babysitter shows me Wiki, and it says that Moses gets all the credit, and I'm thinking, whatever, dude, take your credit, but we all know you wouldn't have been able to do that if it weren't for my translation app and lighter and my Mastodon killing shotgun. And then I look at the babysitter and I ask her if she's horny, and she says, not particularly, but we can have sex if you want to. And I did, because freeing a whole group of people in ancient Egypt made me super horny. And so we had sex, and you know what? It was pretty good. But then, once we were done, the babysitter looks over at me and tells me how good she felt about freeing one group of people that she wanted to free another as well. And I ask her which group of people she wanted to free next, and she looks at me and says, I want to free the blacks. Thanks for listening, and please subscribe and rate the podcast to help me get more of the positive attention I so sorely need. Follow the show on Instagram at Time Traveler's Guide Podcast, and me at Anonymous Time Traveler 69. New episodes out Thursday nights at 8.